Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Friday, June the 26th. It's going to be another hot day. We'll have more on the weather in a bit. But first, a Kent woman fears her son could be left without either of his parents unless she's able to travel abroad for cancer treatment. Candice Powell from Swanley was first diagnosed with cervical cancer in 2019 following a smear test. After treatment, she was given the all clear the following year, but started to feel unwell in May 2025. She's told us about her visit to Maidstone Hospital.
I went in there being sick, like I knew something weren't right, so yeah. Give me a scan like that. Told me I was fine, said I was absolutely fine, said I had gastritis. And then 2 months went past, so I went back in July, same thing again, violently being sick, can't stop being sick, can't keep nothing down. Like pains again, stuff like that. Sent me home again, even though they'd done a scan again.
The 39-year-old was eventually told the disease had returned and was stage 4. It's also been found in 3 other parts of her body. She has had surgery, which was last November, and is due to start chemotherapy, but has also been researching alternatives, including a private oncology centre in Germany.
Literally, going to prolong my life. They haven't told me how long. But whereas this place in Germany have given me a cure, and I've got a friend that's out there now, and she's having treatment, she's on her third treatment out there, and it's shrunk it by 50%.
A fundraiser has been set up for Candice in a bid to try and raise £50,000. A spokesperson for the Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells NHS Trust has also said that Candice has shared her concerns with them directly, and they've responded to the issues she's raised and will continue to liaise with her.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today. Andover and Deal MP Mike Tapp says he won't be intimidated to drop his views. The Prime Minister's resisting calls from Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood to sack him from his role as immigration minister over an article believed to be out of step with government policy. The standoffs viewed by some as a test of Keir Starmer's authority during his final weeks in Downing Street. A hotel in Ashford that was being used to house asylum seekers has reopened to tourists after people staying there were moved out. The Holiday Inn will be able to welcome visitors again after the government increased its use of military sites instead. The Granby in Gravesham will also no longer be used by people who've arrived in the country illegally. As promised, more on the heatwave now, and the ambulance service covering Kent say they've seen a 20% increase in calls this week because of the hot weather. A red warning for extreme heat is now in force across the whole of the county today, with temperatures set to hit the mid-30s again. Nakai Redman from SeaCam says it's having a big impact on demand for paramedics.
We often see an increase in our demand during any sort of extreme weather, whether it be hot or cold. Just to give you an example of how busy we've been. So on Monday, the 22nd of June to Wednesday, the 24th, we did over 10,000 909 calls, or so we responded to over 10,000 909 calls. If we look at the previous week, we were at 8,500. So it's a really, really sudden increase in the number of calls. That's over 1,600 extra calls, which I think works out about 20% extra in the number of people calling 999.
And what sort of things, Nakai, are they calling about? What sort of concerns do they have, and why do they dial 999?
So in addition to all of our normal 999 work, if you can call it normal, we are also seeing an increase in people calling for dehydration, heat stroke and sunburn, as well as the activities that that good weather brings. So alcohol intoxication, more sporting injuries. There's a lot of people out and about travelling on the road, so we are seeing some road traffic collisions as well.
So I'm sure you'd like to get across some advice on how we can all stay safe during this heat wave. What would some of your top tips be?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the number one top tip has got to be, if you can avoid the heat of the day, then please absolutely do avoid the heat of the day. Heat can really seriously affect people with heart conditions, high blood pressure and other long-term illnesses. So if you've got friends, neighbours, relatives that have got any of those, then you might need to support them in remaining hydrated. So encouraging them to drink water, and again trying to avoid being outside in the sun as much as possible.
We're also being urged to make sure dogs in Kent stay safe in the hot weather by keeping them out of the sun during the day. Owners have been told to avoid walking them unless it's very early in the morning or late evening. Lucy's been chatting to Joe Stuckey, who's the centre manager at Canterbury Dogs Trust Rehoming Centre.
My advice would be not to walk the dogs in this heat. It's just absolutely unbearable, I think, for them. I think the best thing to do is try and keep them entertained as much as you can indoors. If you've got shaded areas in your garden, obviously you can spend some time out there, but even the garden I'd restrict where possible. You'll probably notice your dog panting quite a bit, and that's their way of keeping cool. And even going out quite late in the evening, at the moment with the heat how it is, even that, I took my own dogs out last night and had to cut it short because it is just too hot.
Yeah, that's something I've noticed as well. The heat's really lingering sort of into the evening. You can still really feel that hot air. What kind of impact does that have on dogs and if they're out, you know, in the sun as well during the day?
So it can cause heat stroke. I mean, the flat face breeds, so your pugs and your Frenchies, really struggle because they struggle to regulate the breathing at the best of times. So trying to do it with heat, I just wouldn't risk it, because they would overheat, and it can make them very poorly. I've had reports from our vet that comes to the site in a previous year about two pugs that passed away, unfortunately, due to the heat. And the owner had taken them to the beach where they thought it would be quite cool because the soot sea and they lost both. So, you know, it's, yeah.
Oh gosh, that's so sad. And I know it's difficult because, you know, the dogs themselves obviously don't know that they shouldn't be going out and they might be pestering you for a walk, but it's important not to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, no dog ever passed away by missing a walk. And I mean, as we all know, the UK, the sun doesn't last too long. So, you know, it is better to skip that walk if you can. But I do understand it is stressful as an owner. The dogs don't understand. They would still go out for the walk if you got the lead out. But there's some great puzzle games, and you can freeze things. Even with the puzzle games, you could make it up, you could put it in the freezer. So even while they're doing that, it's, you know, it keeps them interested. Just engaging with your dog, keeping their mind busy, this can tire a dog out as well, you know. So, yeah, you've just got to come up with alternatives and just try and keep them as cool as possible. The staff here at Canterbury quite often will stuff comms and freeze them. Toys like that, where the dogs have to kind of lick and spend quite a bit of time with the toy, and so it cools them down. Takes quite a bit of thinking, takes quite a while to use. So things like that are really good, and you can use whatever food you feed. You know, you feed your dogs.
And the only other thing I was going to mention, Joe, was with dogs walking on the pavement, and you know, maybe their paws getting burnt. Is that kind of an issue or anything you've kind of dealt with?
Definitely. I mean, we're at Canterbury, we're obviously really, and at Dogs Trust as a whole, we're really sensible with them. I've never seen it here, but I've heard about it happening outside. If you can't hold your hand on the floor for five seconds, you know, because it's hot, then your dog definitely shouldn't be going out. You know, I'm sure you've been to the beach before and you stand up, don't you, to go in the sea and the sands, that's, you know, burned your feet. And they can't tell us that that's what's happening. So you should definitely be. That's kind of a basic check, I think, to make sure that the ground is suitable. And that's quite an easy thing to check.
And a warning's been issued not to swim in the sea near the Port of Dover after a sewage release. Testing has revealed poor water quality levels in several seafront and marina areas. It follows a number of storm overflows during heavy rain on Tuesday night.
Kent Online reports.
Footage has been released of the moment a van driver helped armed police chase a suspect in Thanet.
Oh, police! Stay where you are! Oh, police! Stay there!
Pulling down the hill towards the viaduct.
Get back.
Go. Cheers, buddy. Follow that police officer. If you just go past him, keep going past. Right, stop here on the right. Stop. Stop there. Don't move. Put your hands on your head. Sorry, mate.
No worries.
Cheers for your help.
No problem. I'm just glad I could be in service.
Okay, cheers, buddy. No, we'll get on with doing the rest of it. Yeah. Thank you very much for your assistance.
That was quite exhilarating.
No worries. See you later. Hope the rest of your day is a bit calmer.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. See you later.
Bye.
Now, officers had been called to reports of a serious assault at a property in the High Street last week. The passing motorist stopped and gave a lift to one of the PCs, and the man was eventually detained. The van driver has been recommended for a commendation by the force, and you can watch that video in full by heading to the Thanet pages of Kent Online.
Kent Online reports.
Next on today's episode, and a witness has come forward to support a claim from a Kent businessman that he was sent to prison for a crime he didn't commit. Simon Edgecombe is trying to clear his name more than 40 years after serving a sentence over how finances were handled at a post office in Raynham. He sold a van to staff back in 1983 and says money was taken directly from the till to pay for it. After seeing the story on Kent Online earlier this month, a former paperboy who worked there has come forward. Well, Michael Baker says he remembers how money from the till was used to pay wages too.
I started to read the article, and the first thing that struck me was the photograph. And it's quite a long article, and as I was reading through it, obviously when I see the picture of the post office and it being in Raynham Road, I recalled that I was a paper boy there during the time. And then I carried on reading the whole article and then realised that at that time that I was a paper boy there was the same time that unfortunately what happened to Simon. Because it was my first ever job, I remember it really well, because I tell my children now the story of how much I used to earn, which at the time was 50p a round. And I had a savings book. It had a blue plastic cover. And so sometimes I was paid directly from the till, but also when I was saving on other occasions, I'd be paid from the post office till, because I would recall that I'd get my money and then sometimes hand some of it back. So I was at the post office till because I had my post office savings book.
He says he's prepared to give evidence in court, and Simon has told Kristen from our colleagues at KMTV it could be crucial for his case.
With Michael coming forward, it's a kingpin. Basically, it will mean that previously I've had no evidence to present to an appeal court about an appeal, apart from my recollection. And of course, appeal courts, they would like independent evidence, and I've had none. So with you and your colleagues' help, we've found Michael, and Michael has said, I could have given him a script. If he'd have read from the script, it would have been perfect. But he's done this all off his own back. He wanted to help, and he has helped, and it is an enormous help. Not just for me, but for the girl that worked in there. She was innocent. It should never have happened. But because of post office's means of investigation, which wasn't any, I'm sorry, but we went to prison.
And you're still looking for more people, are you? How long until it's too late? Is it ever too late?
Oh, it's never too late. No. I shall always be looking for other people, but obviously I have to put this back in again to the appeal courts, and I will probably go through the CCRC, the Criminal Cases Review Commission, which is a government body, but they have special powers to demand evidence. But unfortunately, you can demand all the evidence you like, but if Post Office don't want to provide it, they just won't. So we have got plenty of time at the moment. I mean, with it, if somebody else can come forward within the next 4 or 5 weeks, perfect. If they had some association, if they received money from there, if they were a milkman, they worked with the milkman, they were a paper boy, paper girl, window cleaner, anything such as that, that received money from the Post Office, because it came out of the Post Office till, and that was the thing. It came out of the Post Office till, but we, the girl in there and I, got the blame for all of it.
Simon is still particularly keen to speak to a married couple who worked in the shop and the owner himself. A public consultation on plans to close a number of on-call fire stations in Kent has been delayed. The governing bodies voted for more time to discuss the idea before asking what we think. It's after hundreds of firefighters turned up to a rally outside a meeting in Maidstone yesterday. Plans to transform a shopping centre in Tunbridge Wells have been given the go-ahead. Improvements will be carried out to the Palm Court area of Royal Victoria Place, including larger shops and new toilets. An energy-efficient roof will be added over the atrium. You can follow us on socials to see some CGIs. A National Poetry Library is arriving in Chatham today. The mobile unit from the South Bank Centre is travelling all around the UK. It includes free activities, school workshops and a performance at Chatham Library. And finally, thousands of people are expected at the historic dockyard in Chatham this weekend for Armed Forces Day. Serving military personnel will join cadets and veterans at the event tomorrow. Medway Council leader Vince Maple has been telling me all about it.
It's one of the highlights of the Medway calendar, and certainly one of the largest Armed Forces Day celebrations across the region, not just here in Medway, but actually across the whole of the South East. I'm incredibly proud of the way our community comes together to recognise and support those who are currently serving in our armed forces, our brilliant young cadets who do an amazing job, particularly here in Medway, and of course take time to recognise and remember both our veterans and those who have, in some cases, made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. It's a day where all of those different parts come together. I'm incredibly proud of the partnership the council has, particularly with the dockyard over the last couple of years. Really positive feedback from many people to say actually having it with such an impressive backdrop is incredible. And we've got dozens and dozens of stalls, people from across the community, charities, youth services and many, many more things for people to come and enjoy on this coming Saturday.
Yeah, and I guess the backdrop can be more fitting, could it really? And it's got that amazing space because there is quite a big procession at the start, isn't there? You get to see a lot of the armed forces in action, which is quite, it always, I don't know, just it's a special moment, isn't it, seeing them all marching?
And it's particularly poignant because you have those kind of three phases. So we have our brilliant youth, uniformed youth, whether that's cadets, air cadets, Royal Naval cadets and others, which are a really important part of our community, alongside, obviously, the adults that volunteer to support them in carrying out those activities. Of course, those serving personnel, in particular here in Medway these days, our brilliant friends at the Royal Engineers, and, of course, our veterans, many of whom, of course, are from the Navy in particular because of our long-standing naval history. So we have a real kind of the three elements, if you will, all coming together on that one particular day, which for me just, you know, the armed forces is in the DNA of Medway. Lots of people know Medway's my home because my dad served in the Royal Navy. So it's personal to me as well. And that'll be the same story for thousands of people attending this Saturday.
Kent Online Sports.
Starting off with football, and Gillingham fans can start preparing for the new season because the fixtures are out. Their League Two campaign will kick off on August the 15th. Here's our Gills reporter, Luke Cordell.
Gillingham have a home start when Walsall come to Priestfield on the opening weekend of the League Two season. Fans are going to hope for a better season ahead after the disappointment of the last campaign where they finished 17th in the table. It's year two of a two-year plan for manager Gareth Ainsworth, and he's promised fans better times ahead. Gillingham's home game with Walsall is quickly followed by the long trip north the following week to Fleetwood. It's another year where fans will rack up the miles. Fans will already have noted the final game too, away against their historic rival Swindon Town on May the 8th. So there's plenty to look forward to between now and then. And it's hard to think about Christmas right now with the sun blaring down, but the Jills will have a short trip to Crawley on Boxing Day and welcome Exeter City on New Year's Day. All of the fixtures can be found on the Kent Online Sport website, but a word of caution, Sky Sports are going to make their TV selections in the coming week, so fixtures are still subject to change. But by the end of July, we should be able to properly plan for the coming months ahead.
And Gillingham have added to their squad too. Kadeem Harris has joined after leaving Salford City at the end of last season. The winger has been chatting to the club's media rep.
It's a big move from Salford geographically for you. What was the major factor in you deciding to come here?
There was a few. Obviously, I know the manager well. I used to play with him for a season. I know the assistant, who was the assistant last season, Dobbo.
Yeah.
We've all got a really good relationship, and you know, it's been a couple of years now where we've spoke, and I thought that this time was nearing, and it's here now. I know the manager obviously was a winger, he loves his wingers, and I'm a winger, as you know. So you know, those factors and plus just the club itself is a big club, and a club that I believe has ambition and is going in the right direction. Hopefully I could be part of that, and we can do that this year.
You say you played with Gareth. What was Gareth like to play with?
He's a character, you know. He lights up a room. He's a very good player as well. You know, he had a good career. I've heard he's the same as a manager. You know, he brings the room alive, and you know, he's very positive. So you know, I'm looking forward to working with him this season.
You haven't got long to wait to meet your new teammates. They're back next week, I gather. Have you got itchy feet now? You want to get back out on the grass following a short break?
Yeah, as I said, you know, I'm looking forward to meeting all the boys, and I've had a good break, and I'm ready to go. And I always, when it gets to this part, I just can't wait to get going. And you know, it's no different this season.
Describe yourself as a player for those who perhaps haven't seen you play before.
Very direct. I love 1v1 situations. I love to get the fans off their feet, and I love winning as well. So you know, hopefully, I could bring that to this squad, and we've got good things ahead this season.
On to cricket now, and Kent are back in T20 Blast action tonight. The Spitfires are taking on Notts Outlaws at Canterbury. The home side are currently fourth in the South group, while the opposition are second in the North. Plays due to start at 7. And in tennis, it's understood Kent's Emma Raducanu is facing a race to be fit for Wimbledon. The British number one missed training and hasn't played since losing in the final at Queen's earlier this month. She was spotted wearing a protective boot earlier in the week. Wimbledon gets underway on Monday. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And don't forget to check out the latest Secret Drinker review. Plus, head to the What's On pages for details of everything else going on in Kent over the weekend. Hope you have a fantastic one. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.